It's time again for Health Talk on KFAR Radio. 30 minutes of healthy conversation about practical ways to improve your quality of life. Now, from the all-new White Spruce Medical, here's your host, Dr. Scott Looper.
Good afternoon, Fairbanks. Welcome to Health Talk. My name is Dr. Scott Looper, and I'm your host today as we talk about health, how to get it, and how to keep it. With me today is Katie Steer. Katie's a physician's assistant who's opened a new clinic here in Fairbanks. The name of the clinic is Alaska Health Advocates, which the acronym spells AHA. I love that, Katie. Welcome to the show. Katie, if everybody knows what we're going to talk about how to be healthy. But Katie, before you say anything, let me do an introduction for you, because I've known you for some years now. And one of the reasons why you're on the show is because you're one of those people that I can send folks to and I can trust that you're going to do a good job. You're going to take care of them. And I appreciate that. And I'm so excited for you to open up a clinic and start this new endeavor. So, Katie, tell us how you got into the business. Why'd you become a physician's assistant to begin with?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. I'm ever so grateful. And I just want to welcome the surrounding areas and whoever's listening into the program today to just to genuinely think about their health. When I thought of how to advocate for patients in Alaska, being a longtime resident, grew up in a village, I thought, how do I need to practice what I've been trying to implement with patients for years? So I had to step back. And essentially, AHA, the clinic, was formed to stop, reset, and take time.
So what do you get to treat? I mean, is just anybody with anything, or there are certain kind of people that you think you're going to resonate with more? Who do you want to see?
So in general, I've been doing primary care and urgent care for the last 20 years, and now it's time to step back and take more time with my primary care, essentially. In my youth, my mother was a nurse in a small clinic in the village, and when the tour bus would go by and the crashes would be on the highway between Tok and Delta, that we would be pulled up, and I would see triage and CPR, and this didn't happen often, but it started my interest in understanding life and death. I want to have my patients understand that celebrating death should be no different than celebrating a birth or a baby shower. So end-of-life care is a big passion of mine, which means we're aging daily. We're middle age, I am now, and death is soon. And so I'm very comfortable, familiar with family medicine from early infants, teenagers, physicals. I can do some basic, school physicals, but also just the health that we need as women, women's wellness, diabetes care, hypertension, nutritional exercise consults. Those are challenging, as you know, Dr. Looper. 98% of us don't comply with that, but it's so important. I think men's health and sometimes vitality as we age, how do we maintain our sleep patterns, our anxiety? How do we reach our goals? This is part of medicine that I want to entertain, and that's what I've been doing with my primary care.
So, Katie, you're not a self-promoter. You and I have had this conversation before where tooting your own horn does not come natural to you, so let me do it. So, Katie, here's the dealio. You're a practitioner who is in the fullness of their career. You've been doing this a long time. You've seen a lot of people. You've worked a lot of cases. After a while, you start getting the hang of it. And what you do, and you probably would use different words, but let me just say, you're a problem solver. People come in, you listen to them, you ask a bunch of questions, you don't go fast, you go slow. And the nice thing about your new clinic is it affords you the opportunity to be able to move slowly and thorough. It's not the slowness that's important. It's the thoroughness. It's the time you spend with someone to get to the bottom of what's going on. And the reason why we do this is because it is extremely satisfying to come up with real solutions, lasting solutions to health problems. You know, a lot of doctors, you go in, you got hypertension, and they'll give you a medication and call it good, next. And you could turn and burn, see somebody every, 15 minutes. And that is if you're taking some time with them. And that's not really what you're doing. Correct me if I'm wrong, but what you're doing is you're doing a deep dive with people and you're listening to what's going on so that you can solve the problems better, right?
Uh-huh.
That's it. So, Katie, tell us a story. Tell us somebody that you've helped. Tell us a story that kind of illustrates what you're doing here. And this is an interesting thing you've done at this point in your career to go off on your own and open your own clinic. This is exciting. So tell us about it. Tell us more about it.
So I'm excited to essentially have the availability to have the time with the patients, of course. And then I hope in the near future, this next year, to be teaming with several other providers, a doctor, hopefully we'll be joining in next year. But the biggest patient population that I think are family to me are those in dark places. Being raised in Alaska in the dark and with depression, anxiety, those, let's see, how do I say it? 98% of our diagnosis, as you know, is based on if we listen. So if I take the time to listen and understand that, the stress of sleep disturbance is based on, Uncle Paul that fell because he didn't have a lift at home to hoist him up because he was a veteran and they didn't have enough. You know where I'm going with this. Home visits are important to me because I get to see the whole part of the picture that helps with our whole body, the nutrition, what's in the fridge, the food banks available. We have a ton of resources in our community, but most people aren't aware that they're volunteers to sit with their elderly grandparent, that they could have a respite, that they could leave, they could go exercise, but they're homebound. So that's what I want to incorporate in my practice with caring for people.
So the nutrition part is interesting and tricky. You mentioned this earlier, that so many of us know exactly what to do, and so few of us actually do it. And, I'm sure all the listeners of our show tonight are the exceptions. These are the people that are on top of things and organized. But maybe not, since it's a struggle for the two people in the studio to live a clean life. Let me just mention a little something about this, because this is so important to health. This is one of those foundation things. If you don't eat good food, you don't have a prayer of being healthy. It just isn't going to happen. There's just one of those basics. It goes in the same category of sleep. You got to sleep. Without sleep, it doesn't work. You got to have some kind of way to move your body around, because if it doesn't, you end up aching and your energy goes down and you're more prone to all kinds of diseases and it you just don't feel right. And if you don't have meaning and purpose in your life, what's the point of all this stuff? So there's some basic stuff that must be addressed, must be kind of, you come to some terms with. And the nutrition part of it is really tricky, because people have patterns in their lives and they do things, because it's what they've always done and their parents have done it and they're just used to it. And you go up and you blow all that up. You're not a very popular doctor.
Well, I find it, if I can essentially relate with my patient, to me, they're a brother or an uncle or a father or a grandmother. They look at me and they see that I'm not perfect. We're all practicing a little bit with bias from our past, even though we're supposed to be very objective. But when I tell patients, yes, I need to go walk tonight. I need to see somebody, accountability. I have to have somebody at the bottom of Esther Dome to walk up the hill because I physically won't do it if I don't have that peer, if I share those things. I look at health as somewhat like a menu. You can pick and choose some things. We're part genetic, part of what we choose. But you can't choose poorly and have poor genetics.
Yeah.
That's a change.
There's consequences.
There's a consequence there. So you, it's a la carte a bit. So you want to make sure that your cholesterols are down. You want to make sure that you're not having a stroke and heart attack, which is the number one killer of people middle age, women in particular. So if we pick and choose and we know the risks, then we can go forward intentionally, living our life to the fullest or the shortest or the longest, given those choices. I don't want to assume that I know better for you, but I sure want to co-team with you and show you maybe a little bit different way to look at something, or maybe to challenge you and coach you and be your biggest cheerleader to get at the bottom of Esther Dome and walk up that mountain four times a week.
Yeah, Katie, I say it in the sense that I said I don't have a Dr. Looper religion where you have to, you know, recite the catechism. I don't do that. What I do is I listen and I try to figure out what people really care about, what they're motivated, and what means something to them. Let me tell you a story. I had a patient who had diabetes. He was in his late 60s. He was probably about 100 pounds overweight. And I ran the labs. I said, this is what I need you to do, this, like that. And then he went and practiced. And in about 3 weeks, he came back. And I said, well, how you doing? And he said, well, I didn't do anything you said. You know, I got hungry and I just ate food. And then instead of lecturing him and saying, no, you're bad, you should do it right, I didn't do that because it was a waste of time. I don't want to do that. He already knew. I asked instead, I said, what are you looking forward to? What's happening in your future that you're really looking forward to? That's something exciting. What do you care about? Tell me some stories. And he did. He told me some stories. He thought, well, this is interesting. You know, I'll tell Dr. Looper some stories. And what came through it was family. Family, family. He kept telling me stories about family. And then after a little while, I said, so you love your family. You love your kids and your grandkids. I said, your youngest grandkid, you want to see him graduate from high school? Then you got to do what I say. Mm-hmm. And he cried tears. Mm-hmm. He was a burly, hardworking man. He welled up. And I hit the nail right on the head. You know what? After that, he did everything I said. He was fabulous. He ended up losing a whole bunch of weight. He became the point he wasn't even having diabetes anymore. By definition, but his blood sugars were in the normal range. And, you know, he did better. He felt better. The trick was, you know, connecting what people really care about. He was afraid that he was going to die. He was also afraid that he was going to have to live in this little box and live on, you know, nuts and berries.
Right. Well, that is a fun time to educate people too on all the different fads and the fashion and fads. I'm definitely not one to jump on board with the most, how should I say, diet of the season. Just go back to the basics, see what you have, see what you can do, what's tried and true. We're definitely a patient population that a pill for every ill. And I love that you take time with your patients, Dr. Looper. That's why I'm here.
And you too, Katie. And you too, preaching the choir. We both do this. It turns out to be a better way to be a doctor. Honestly, it's more fun. I love when people come back. They sit in my chair and I say, how you doing? I feel good.
Yeah.
Sweet. Yep. That's how to do it. The question is, what do we got to do to get that to happen?
Absolutely.
Where you actually come feeling good. I mean, I'll do anything as long as it comes out. I feel better. I feel healthier.
I think it's wonderful. The integrative medicine part of co-teaming is essential with the different formats that we have, the supplements and the pharmaceuticals and the natural, all blended. Integrative medicine, I think, even with osteopathic manipulation medicine, some of those modalities that necessarily... I wasn't necessarily trained on them initially 20 years ago, but they work, and I definitely plan to implement them further.
It's interesting. As I get to be more experienced and a better doctor, and like you and us, we're in the fullness of our career, I refer more than I ever did. As a new doctor, I wanted to keep all my patients. As a mature doctor, I give them away right and left because there are people who do better work than I do. And if that's the case, that's where I want you to go. I want you to go see somebody who knows what they're doing.
Absolutely.
Better than I do.
And it's a season, right? You might have a different personality or different mindset, different plan for a patient in their 30s that might not gel with you in their 50s.
Yeah.
So it's a season of life, I think, to capture. And it's an honor to take care of patients.
So this is an interesting thing we're talking about earlier. So for people who just joined us, I'm speaking here with Katie Steer. And Katie, you mentioned that you like working with people at the end of life. Now that, most people are going to get like, really? Because in the end, you die. What a horrible job that is. How heartbreaking. And yet you and I both know that's not the case.
True.
It's not what you expect. It turns out to be different. It turns out to be this, I don't want to put words in your mouth. You tell me, why is it interesting to you? Why is it rewarding to work with people at the end of life?
Well, I guess it's personal to me. Years ago, I had my grandparents in my house, and I took care of them, my husband and I, and we were early married, and Grandpa and Grandma died in our home, and we took them in. Hospice was involved, and it taught me a lot about just the caring, reading to Grandma and singing and the touch, the feel, and the joy and the mentoring that they gave me towards the end of their life and even the last days. Most recently, my father passed away in my arms, and that I could describe as perfect. My mother was killed in a car crash. Much different. However, if we can really cherish death and the family and the surrounding days around that occurrence and the healing, if you fast forward in life, if you take the time to enjoy it, to have the richness, the fullness, to smell the sweater, the tea that you'll have with family, the soft music, or not. Many times we chose just to play games and we had Mexican bingo. We kept living. And then fast forward in those family members that experienced the end of life for their grandfather, their anxiety is not what it would have been if we didn't surround him in the last days. So that's all part of the journey of my personal experience, but also that I can help patients walk through. So I have availability to have end-of-life care and a care provider to facilitate that. And everybody has different ideas of what that means, and I want to honor that.
Yeah, everybody's transition is different. Some are horrific and some are beautiful.
Right.
And the trick of doing this thing is to solve problems as you go along, to help people be comfortable, to help make the transition to be as beautiful as it can be. The weird thing about it is as deep as it gets. When somebody comes into the planet, it is a special time. And once somebody exits the planet, it is equally special. Weird to say, but when you go through it with somebody, it leaves such a lasting impression, and it is as deep and meaningful as things get. I had the hospice come be on the show a few years ago, and I had probably never done a better show, one that was more heartful than having the people from the hospice come. And I asked them a question. I said, why do you do this? And they said, because it brings meaning and purpose to my life in a way that nothing else does.
That's right. That's right. And it's here so quickly. And that's why I want to step back and, decide what is important to Alaskans, to their health, and how I can advocate for them.
Excellent. Katie, I'm so glad. We got to take a break right now. Let's do that, and we're going to come back with more health talk here in a moment.
Don't give up. Good health is possible. We'll be back with more health talk.
One in four people will have heartburn this week. One in six suffer from irritable bowel. Thousands more suffer from diseases caused by gut dysfunction and poor digestion. The good news is relief is here. I'm Dr. Scott Looper. My colleagues and I are experts in the effective treatment of gastrointestinal diseases. We are waiting to see you at White Spruce Medical. Call us to make an appointment. Located in the Steese Medical Center here in Fairbanks. Treating the core, living the cure. White Spruce Medical.
When you have an opinion.
In my opinion.
Do you have a new opinion or do you have the same opinion you had before?
A question.
Let me start with question number one.
Here's my question.
Whether you agree.
My compliments to your guests on their accuracy of the statements they've made.
Or disagree.
Oh yeah, you guys think you know.
You guys don't have any idea what you're talking about.
This is your source for news.
This is rocket science and things do happen on this stuff.
And conversation.
It's real and it's fantastic.
From the supermarket to the stock market, follow the business news you can use daily on News Talk 660 KFAR.
Now, more health talk on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com. Here's your host, Dr. Scott Looper.
So welcome back to Health Talk. I'm here with Katie Steer, and Katie is a physician assistant who's been in practice for many a year. Katie, we don't want to necessarily say how long you've been doing. Many a year.
Thank you, Dr.
And she's opened a new clinic recently, which I'm delighted. Katie, one of the things I want to do, one of the things I'm interested in is how not to get sick. And kind of another way to say that is how to set up a pattern of life that meets your body's needs and your mind's needs, and so that you flow, you know, free and easy and with great happiness and joy. I mean, that's probably a corny way to say it, but, you know, it's worth looking at the patterns in life, you know, things you do that, sure, that help you be more healthy and help you be more resilient, and things you do that don't. So I'm tempted to ask you questions about particular diseases and your approaches to them and so on and so forth, but I think that's going to be too theoretical. What I'd rather ask is, Katie, I'm going to be personal here, how do you stay healthy? Yeah. That's where the rubber hits the road. What do you do? So tell us, what do you do to stay healthy?
All right. Well, the nice thing is through my career, and I can truly say I'm transparent with my patients, and I can be transparent with you. Many times in my life, I'm not healthy. And precisely why I stepped back and I decided that I'm going to change things in my own life in my early 50s. With the clinic. I think it sounds so happy and go lucky and how do you do it, and it seems easy. If it were easy, there wouldn't be thousands of books on nutrition and exercise and health and wellness.
Yeah.
It's not. It's intentional. I think the biggest thing that I take in my own life is that I have to be intentional about my life daily, meaning all my body. My movement, that would mean exercise. My stretching, does it mean I do it every day? No. Does it mean I have to do it several times a week? Yes. I have to be intentional about what I put in my mouth and how I hydrate and what the nutrition, the fuel in my body to make my muscles, my cells. I break it down to my patients like this, and also just to have my brain work well so that when I have my duties, I can perform them. And then the joy. I don't think that you can live a full, well life with one of these not in balance with the other. I think you have to laugh. I think you have to have joy. You know, in other countries, they have tapes of laughter as part of their medicine. And I used to poo-poo some of those things. But the joy aspect of life is very meaningful and necessary. However, it's intentional, meaning myself. Also, I'm candid with patients. I will sign myself up for different things. Now, this is prior to COVID. It's been a little bit more restrictive lately. To obligate myself in peer groups so that at the end of the night, I realized I've laughed. I've done something new. I've contributed. But I wouldn't necessarily have done it without being intentional about it because inside I'm introvert. So the intentional part of all those different aspects make a difference.
So exercise, does nutrition. Does the intentionality come natural to you?
No.
Or it doesn't? How do you do it?
No, I think it's a discipline. I think it can be learned. It's a habit. It's just like many people. Well, I always bring up Esterdome because I really like that area. People that run a marathon, most runners that do the marathon, they have an intentional plan. They sign up with a team, whether it be to fulfill a goal or a time limit or a distance, of course. There are, of course, longtime marathoners that run daily. That's in their blood. That's not me. So a lot of times I liken health to a marathon. You have to understand, or climbing Mount Everest, there's steps. There's teeny tiny steps along the way. Don't get overburdened by the big picture of the mountain, but the little steps along the way are intentional. So the parts of your life that you have to make sure that you have in your planner or set forth for your joy, for your mind, your brain, your learning.
Yeah, if you try to think of the whole thing, it's overwhelming. It's
absolutely
too much. If you think about just what the next step is, and usually it's not that hard, whatever the next step is. I find a couple things that are particularly helpful. I find time blocking is a good first step, saying on Mondays at 4:30 or Mondays at 6:30, whatever, in the morning, whenever. You pick a time and say, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do 15 minutes worth of stretching. And then you do it, and you run it for a week, and you try the stretching thing. And at the end of the week, you pause and you think, okay, how was my week? Is it better or worse? Was it misery or was it joy? What did I get out of it? You know, it takes some effort, and then you reflect on it, and you think, God, that was great. It's the best thing I ever had, my best week ever. I should do a half an hour stretching.
No, I think you're right. I think you did the time blocking. I like to do short-term and long-term goals. I think it's really motivational for myself personally and for my patients. There's always a discussion when somebody sees me, and also my self-reflection each week on short-term goals, whether it's, okay, I know that this next week I'm going to decorate for Christmas, even before Thanksgiving. That's my short-term goal. My lights are going up. And then I have my long-term goal for different things. So you're right. Same thing as time block.
Do you sit down with a Franklin planner, or do you journal, or what do you do? What's the technology?
Okay, you're dating me, but yes, I have a Franklin.
I thought so.
I do, and most of my peers would be
brilliant.
Horrified.
Brilliant system. Brilliant. Yeah. I had a Franklin planner for, I don't know, 10 years, 12 years. Now, I got it inculcated into my soul about a Franklin planner. So I still do that. I have the short-term goals. I have the long-term goals. And what I am doing is journaling. I actually have a journal. I carry it around with me at least once a week. Mm-hmm. I reflect on my goals and then reflect on my week. Because otherwise I can't do it. Otherwise I just bebop along and I fall into traps of things that capture my attention. And at the end of the thing, I go, what was I doing?
Right. No, you're absolutely right. The
perspective. Yeah.
And I'm a firm believer too. What we speak, what we say out loud, our mind actually believes. And I used to kind of poo-poo some of those things, but CEOs of companies, Olympians, and those of us raised in a village, in the dark, in the cold, what you say out loud to your brain, you believe.
Yeah.
And so I'm very much one for praise and gratitude in that daily walk.
So, Katie, we're at the end of the show, and you know what? We have just scratched the surface. We could talk about so much more stuff. We'll just have to do it again. You go do your clinic for a while, collect some stories, and then I'm going to have you come back at some point. And we're going to do a follow-up report on how all this is going. But in the meantime, I want people to be able to find their way to you. How do they find you?
Oh, thanks for having me again. And the website is alaskahealthadvocates.com. That will take you right to, you know, phone number. Our phone number is 907, of course, 388-2252, 388-2252. And on our website, there's a way to email, and we can give appointments. We have our reception scheduler that will essentially call you back in a timely manner and schedule an appointment. We have telemedicine also. So there's a lot of different options for different folks with different ages.
And where are you located?
We are on 3455 Rewalk Drive. Essentially, it's over by the airport area behind the Safeway on University. There's a small little drive back there, Rewalk. And there's a professional building there. There's a couple other medical providers in there, physical therapy.
And there's close by, there's a physical therapy.
Yep.
And there's an imaging center somewhere in there, and there's some other folks.
Behind that. That would be the plaza. We're a street right behind that.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Very good. So, Katie, thanks again for being on the show. And, again, I'm serious about having you come back here, you know, I don't know, 6 months or some whenever it's appropriate. I want to let everybody know that this has been Health Talk. I'm your host, Dr. Scott Looper, Medical Director of White Spruce Medical, located at the Steese Medical Center here in Fairbanks, where we treat gastrointestinal diseases such as irritable bowel, gastritis, Crohn's disease, things like that. Stay healthy, stay safe, stay in touch.
You've been listening to Health Talk on KFAR Radio, brought to you by White Spruce Medical in the Steese Medical Center. To listen back to this or any past programs, simply log on to KFARradio.com and go to the archives page for more Health Talk. Local stories, local programs, local news, local talk radio. We are KFAR.